Welcome back to the Warren County Radio Bible School. You may want to get your Bible at this time and follow along. We'll be reading from James chapter 1 and beginning our study with James chapter 1 and verse 22, where it says, "But be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deluding your own selves." The Warren County Radio Bible School is brought to you by the Church of Christ at Rock Cliff. Our meeting house is located between McMinnville and Biola at the foot of Ben Lomond, just across from Mount Zion Road. We have Sunday Bible study at 9 a.m., followed by worship at 10 a.m., Saturday evening worship at 6 p.m., Sunday evening worship at 6 p.m., and Wednesday evening Bible study at 7 p.m., All are welcome to all of our assemblies. I am Bill Boyd, the preacher at Rock Cliff, and the superintendent of this radio Bible school. And we're looking at a Sunday school lesson written for the Sunday schools of August the 2nd, 1925, about passages in the book of James. And we have come to James chapter 1 and verse 25, where it says, or in verse 22, where it says, "But be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deluding your own selves." From this entire epistle of James, and more especially in chapter 2, it appears that the ones to whom it was addressed had not attached sufficient importance to a living obedience to the gospel of Christ. Freedom from the law of Moses through Christ may have led them to feel indifferently toward hearty obedience to the law of Christ. Their faith was not alive and active, but passive and sluggish. Many other passages in the book show this. Examples: the command to control the tongue, and the striking contrast between earthly wisdom and that wisdom which is from above in chapter 3. The condemnation of the friendship with this world, speaking against one another and vaunting and glorifying in the brevity of life against dependence at all times upon God, and solemn warnings against self-indulgence, extravagance, unjust treatment of employees, improper use of money, condemning one another, and swearing. On the other hand, there are strong indications in chapter 5 to patience, which is steadfastness in the service of God, and to cheerfulness and thanksgiving, to confession of faults and prayers for one another, and to earnest efforts to restore those who may err from the truth. But in verse 25, and that in contrast with this active faith, and with knowing and not doing, be ye doers of the word and not hearers only. To hear and to learn the word of God is not enough. To him therefore that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. James chapter 4 and verse 17. We're all familiar with the teachings of Christ on this subject in the Sermon on the Mount. How many professed followers of Christ include not a few teachers and preachers who are today in the deplorable condition of the ones addressed by James? In fact, James addresses all such today to teach while failing, if not refusing to practice what is taught, is called by our Savior spiritual hypocrisy. This is what the Pharisees did. And James says in this verse, deluding your own selves. Those who think they can be saved without the practice of truth delude themselves. Be ye doers of the word, James says. It means not to do at one time only some things which God contains, the word of God contains, but to practice regularly as a life, a business, all it contains. Doers of the word are those who regularly practice it, and practice it all. Now, we come to verses 23 and 24. Here we read, For if anyone is a hearer of the word, and not a doer, he is likened to a man beholding his natural face in the mirror. For behold, he beholdeth himself, and goeth away, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. This is a forceful illustration or comparison. A man sees his natural face in the mirror. He sees himself as he is, the comeliness and defects of his features, and may wish himself different in some respects, as Adam Clark says, but when he leaves the mirror, he forgets these defects and makes no effort to change. So is the one who hears the word but does not practice it. The word is a mirror. It shows man his imperfections and true character in contrast with the beauties of holiness. And for the time being, he may resolve upon a change, but not practicing what he sees in the word of God, he forgets or smothers his resolutions to change his disobedient way of living. Let's go to James 1 and verse 25. It says there, "But he that looketh into the perfect law, the law of liberty, and so continueth, being not a hearer that forgetteth, but a doer that worketh, this man shall be blessed in his doing." Well, on the other hand, the one who does not forget but practices the word of God has the promise of being blessed. There is such a thing as ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth, 2 Timothy 3 and verse 8. This is the case with all young and all old who meet so often day and night to study or teach the Bible, and yet they don't practice it. It must be practiced in all relationships, circumstances, and conditions of life. Those who so regularly attend to teach Bible class should lead in practicing it. It is studied and taught in order to be practiced. James warns against self-delusion at this point. He teaches the best who lives the best. Let me read that again. He teaches the best who lives the best. He who says and does not, he is a hypocrite. Also, James gives a special remedy against forgetting the word of God, which, when used, will cause one ever to remember it. It is impossible to forget it when one does as James directs. This is doing it as fast as it is learned. The man who hears and does not, who reads the Bible and does it not, who preaches and teaches it but does not do it, and forgets it, forgets his obligations and duties to God and to man. And, as Peter says in 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 5, they willfully forget it. If a man will pray for his enemies and love his enemies, do them good, he can never forget that God teaches this. If a man will confess and repair his wrongs he has done, he can never forget that God teaches him to do this. And so it is with every other thing that God teaches. If we will learn it and do it, then we'll remember it. That which Christ teaches, the whole of his counsel, which enjoins this regular, continual practice of the word of God, is called the law of liberty. On this very point, Jesus said to those Jews that believe on him, "If ye abide in my word, then are ye my disciples, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." John 8, 31 and 32. This law sets free from sin in all forms and brings the liberty or freedom which Christ has set us free, Galatians 5, 1. Liberty in Christ, Galatians 2, 4, and freedom from death. It is called the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus, which makes free from the law of sin and death, Romans 8 and verse 2. It is called the law of Christ in 1 Corinthians 9, 21, and Galatians 6 and verse 2. It is called the law of faith in Romans chapter 3 and verse 27. Through faith in Jesus as Christ the Son of God, all must submit to this law in order to become children of God and to be saved finally in heaven. And then we read James 2, 26 and 27. If any man thinketh himself to be religious, while he bridleth not his tongue, but deceiveth his heart, this man's religion is vain. Pure religion and undefiled before God the Father is this, to visit the fatherless and widows in their affliction, and to keep oneself unspotted from the world. The word religion in these verses, according to Thayer's Greek English Lexicon of the New Testament, means religious worship, especially external worship, that which consists in ceremonies in religious worship. The word translated religious means fearing or worshiping God. But these words within themselves have no more reference to God than they do the other objects of worship. So Thayer says, hence apparently, fear of the gods. In Acts 26 and verse 5, it means the religion of the Jews, or Judaism, after the strictest sect of which Paul lived in a paradise. In Colossians 2 and verse 18, it means worshiping, but there it's talking about the worshiping of angels. The expression, the Jews' religion, in Galatians 1, 13 and 14, well, that means Judaism. In Acts 25:19, where Festus said to Agrippa concerning the difference between Paul and his accusers, that it related to certain questions against him of their own religion, referring to the resurrection of Jesus. The word he used here, called religion, means dominion, worship, or superstition. In Acts chapter 17 and verse 22, where Paul says the Athenians were very religious. The word religious means given to idol worship, to which the Athenians were very much indeed devoted. Pains have been taken to note the different places in the Bible where the word religion occurs in order to learn what it is and what it is not. Note the following. Demon worship or superstition is called religion. The worship of angels is called religion. Judaism is called religion. It's called the Jews' religion. The Pharisees were the strictest set of the Jews' religion. The worship of God through Christ is religion. But this religion may be in vain, Mark 7, 6 and 7. Or it may be pure and undefiled. Any system of worship of idols or of the true God is religion. Hence, religion within itself is not necessarily Christian, or the true worship of God. No religion, whether the worship of idols or true worship of God, consists in mere feelings, emotions, moldings, sentiment, or some sudden impact of the Holy Spirit upon the heart, but in relation to idols or angels of God. It is worshiping in deeds of service, or example, or external ceremonies. Now, whenever vain or true, whether heathen or Christian, it is something to be done, not something to get, or something which gets one. The lesson and the whole book of James being addressed to Christians make it plain that the religion of some professed Christians may be in vain, and was in vain when James wrote, one may seem to appear to be religious, as with a sad countenance and disfigured face, as the Pharisees appeared to men to fast, and also given to alms and praying, but they appear liberal and devout, but not be so. So if any man thinketh or seemeth himself to be religious, while he bridleth not his tongue, he deceiveth his own heart, and this man's religion is vain.